My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Minds, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. It would be a weird morning if it was any day other than Friday.
Okay.
Like if it was a Wednesday, I'd be like, don't like it today. But it's hard to come in and be in a bad mood on a Friday.
Well, and it's like, a donut Friday.
It's a donut Friday. I'm not partaking in the donuts today. You asked me before the show. You're like, hey, do you want a donut? Kinda. But I thought about it, and I went over, and I had to fill up my water, and I was looking, and I was like, you know what? I'm passing on donuts this week.
It's a good man.
I think I'm going to go Payday Fridays only for me on donuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every other Friday.
Yeah, every other Friday, that's when I'll snag a donut. Because I can't do a donut every Friday.
Just one donut every Friday is too much?
Yeah, no, seriously, that's how Donut Friday for me actually started, was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Walked past that donut shop every day. I stopped in there so often that one day I walked in and the guy behind the counter was like, maple buttermilk? I was like, I'm a regular at the donut shop. I need to stop. But I still wanted to get a donut. So on paydays when I'm like, yeah, hey, I got a couple extra bucks, I'll get donuts for the studio. And that's how that kind of started. So I'm going to continue that now. And just every other Friday,
okay,
have a donut. A couple a month. I think that fits.
Okay.
I'm getting older now, so I feel the effects of the food I eat more. So
I like to have a donut. I don't usually go more than one donut, but
yeah,
I'll bring in the donuts and then one donut.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Like, that's fine. Kings win. They beat the Spurs 127-122 last night. They won because I left the game early. You are all welcome. It was super funny because right after the game, like buzzer sounds, I immediately get two notifications on Twitter. It was like, hey, did you stay? No, I left. But they definitely would have lost that game if I stayed.
I think you're right.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, just like the way it was playing out, I was like, man, I'm glad Kyle left.
Yeah. When Wemby got the and one with like 2.5 minutes left, and he hit the free throw to put San Antonio up one, it was like, oh no. Like, this is happening again. They're going to lose this game by 8.
Well, that and then they got another shot to like build a lead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They went up a couple scores.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, look at this. This is feeling like Charlotte all over again.
It's exactly what it felt like. But, and that's where I'm landing today, because there's two kind of frames that I'm looking at this through. The first one is a win is a win is a win. You need to stack these up. beating San Antonio at Golden 1 Center, regardless of the final score, was a necessity. However, like long term, I don't think I feel that differently about Sacramento. Like, I need to see these next couple games against real contenders like the Clippers, like Minnesota, like Denver, and then I'll have a better idea. But last night, while a win is a win, it wasn't as dominant as I think I would have liked to have seen.
No, I get you. I mean, I think that they leave you wanting all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, there are some specific things we'll get into, but like, this is also the first game coming out of the break. And sometimes it looks funky. You haven't played in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that San Antonio played a gritty style.
Yeah.
They hit their shots.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Kings did a great job of limiting Wembanyama.
Yep.
Even though his stats are wild.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Devin Vassell was absolutely phenomenal. And just...
he's really good.
You know what he looked like? He looked like DeMar DeRozan with a three-point shot.
Ooh.
That's what he looked like.
I like that.
Like, he's totally grown up. Like, mm-hmm. he's not the stick figure he was when he came in the league.
Mm-mm.
He's really, like, grown into his body. And I thought he was really, really good. He's a guy that, you know, again, the Kings in that draft... they were sitting at number 12, mm-hmm. and when you got to number 10, and the Phoenix Suns took Jalen Smith,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, man, either Tyrese Halliburton or Devin Vassell are going to drop to the Kings.
Yeah.
One or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get one of the guys that realistically you need to build, right? And I think he's just done a tremendous job of growing into who he's going to be as a player. And even talking to Popovich before the game, he was very complimentary of Vassell and now how Victor Wembanyama gives Vassell another player that's talented like he is, that mm-hmm. he can kind of help him elevate his game. And I thought it was a really good point. So, yeah, I think that this is that Spurs team is probably a little bit better than their record.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also super young and just, you know, they're a bunch of tryhards and you got to like it. They're still well coached. But I would have felt more comfortable if the Kings won by like 12.
Yeah, you would have liked to have seen them pull away. But the Spurs, this is the thing, and this is why there are bad teams like the Wizards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they are benching Jordan Poole, and everything is just sideways, and you don't know what direction they are moving. But then there's a bad team like the Spurs, where, okay, you know that Victor Wembanyama is a foundational piece.
Yep.
And I'm excited to talk about your thoughts on him because I wasn't underwhelmed, but I wasn't like, wow, my socks were blown off. What a player. There were moments for sure, but there were some really bad shots. He looked like a rookie a lot last night.
Yeah, I think the shot selection is really poor.
Really bad.
Like, really poor. Mm-hmm. And he really got into a bad habit of shooting like 16-foot fading one way, fading one way jumpers over mm-hmm. over Sabonis, and that's not who he should be at mm-hmm. all. I don't know who it is he should be, but that's not it. It's just not.
Present day DeMar DeRozan is not it.
No. I was very caught off guard by like the shot selection.
Yeah.
But walking in the building and then there he comes out and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah. And there were, like I said, there were 7-8 moments last night that you double take and you have to watch a replay because you just don't, humans aren't supposed to be able to move that way.
Oh yeah.
And a human that size, the way he would catch an offensive rebound and then dunk it, but with like a player in front of him because his arms are just so long.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're supposed to have to go up and like make that a tough shot. There's a player in front of you. The thing I thought, while there were definitely some rookie things there, where you're going, man, that's just a guy who doesn't, like, he's still figuring out the game.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Kings did a really good job of forcing him into tough shots because you're not going to be able to go vertical with him. There's nobody in the league that's going up and contesting his shot, right?
No.
So you get into their body.
Mm-hmm.
You get into, that's what they always say with a shot blocker. You get into the body to be able to finish through him. And I thought Domas did a really nice job, particularly early, of being like, hey, you're not going to move me. Like, I'm just going to get here. I'm not going to be able to contest. I'm not going to be able to block it. But I'm going to force you to either try and go around me or take this tough shot with me in your jersey. And I think that was part of the reason that we saw so many tough shots. I thought the Kings defensively last night did an okay job.
Yeah, I mean, he finished with 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks. And somebody brought this up, like, for some reason, he doesn't have to stay vertical. And it's just not the way it should be. Like, he didn't stay vertical on plenty of his blocks,
mm-hmm.
and they were fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why is that not being called?
Yeah.
Because everybody else in the league is getting called on that.
Yeah.
And I think he's just really tough to figure out how to ref at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so Sabonis just dropping the boom on him and putting a shoulder into him and pushing him under the basket, spectacular.
Yeah.
And then there's like a couple where he like literally like wrapped over the top of him. You're like, okay, that's a foul. Just call the foul. I mean, there's the one still shot that Matt George put out where literally Sabonis is grabbing a rebound and putting it back in with Victor Wembanyama's hand all over his face.
That's just face guarding. That's just good defense.
Just no call. No call.
Yeah. I actually, early in the game last night, James and I were sitting next to each other, not to brag, and early in the game, through the first 12 minutes, first quarter, no fouls.
Either team.
And I'm like, I'm here for this.
Yeah.
If you're going to not blow the whistle, fine. If it's going to be a let them play night, I'm here for that. Like, that's why I like playoff basketball so much more, because it is more physical. The touch fouls go away. I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm not here for is when you get Sabonis getting his eyes raked on one end and then the touch foul where the offensive player creates a little contact and then throws the ball in the air on the other end and there's a whistle. It's like, that's annoying.
Yes.
That's where it's for. But if you're just going to let him play and, hey, everybody's just going to wail on everybody, then okay. I'd way prefer that over the other. But then I think it was 33 seconds into the second quarter, there's a foul. And then 6 seconds later, we had one. It was like the refs have a quota.
Well, like, yes. Oh,
whistles.
But you also realize that, like, starting the second quarter, mm-hmm. who's came out for the Sacramento Kings and started the second quarter. It's like, hey, this foulless streak is not going to last. Chris Duarte is here. Chris Duarte is like, present. I got it. I'll break the streak. Foul.
Hey, Chris, make him feel you. You got it. Whap! No, I thought some of the stuff, we can talk about this later, but some of the stuff that Mike Brown did lineup-wise was really interesting.
Yeah.
The four guards with
Alex Len. Yep.
But then there was the three guards with Trey Lyles and Domas. As fascinating stuff from Mike Brown. I think he's trying to figure out, I don't know exactly what he's trying to figure out, but maybe trying to figure out some form of small ball lineup. I'm not totally sure, but
well, that's the game you do it in, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a team that you know that there's a good chance that if it comes down to the wire, mm-hmm. that you can beat them.
Yeah.
You hope that you don't do something stupid and lose a game. They mm-hmm. did go down by 4 with like mm-hmm. 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that's a team that you can start to mess with certain lineups and mm-hmm. see if you can mix and match. I think, you know, again, Keegan Murray gives you so many different elements too mm-hmm. when he's on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see Mike get a little creative. And talking about Chris Duarte, you know, I saw him in the locker room last night, and like, we weren't going to talk to him as far as the media, just because it was time to go. But I did go over and just like, hey, nice production, man. You know,
yeah,
like his minutes. Game. Like, I was like, hey, look at that. You hit a couple of threes.
Mm-hmm.
When he squares up for a three, it feels like it's going in almost every time.
I totally agree.
When he gets a little crazy and starts dribbling, then it's like, okay, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was okay with the fouls. I was okay with the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for guys to start figuring out ways to make a difference.
His one assist, he dribbled into traffic. And instead of putting up a bad shot, instead of like throwing it out for a reset, he looked. Fox curled up above the break. He hits Fox, wide open three, cashes it. That's good basketball.
Yeah.
And he brings a physicality on the defensive end. If he can contribute offensively, then I would love to see him playing more. And frankly, the Kings came out a little bit flat last night.
Yeah.
And I think if you're trying to establish a defensive presence, a lineup with Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell in it is maybe one way to do that. So
yeah.
We've got a ton to get into from last night's game. A win is a win. Is a win, and I think that's ultimately, if you're the Kings, you will take that right now. They've won 2 in a row, and they start the second half off with a victory. James Hamm, six quick thoughts are what's coming up next right here on ESPN 1320. Plenty of Kings coming up for you today on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James. I'm Kyle. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Figuring it out.
All right.
It's fine. It's a workflow thing.
It is. It's a workflow thing.
I'll get it. I'll get it eventually. Welcome back in. That's James. I'm Kyle. And I'm also vamping because I need that bed to finish. There we go. We've been talking Kings Spurs. That's what we're going to continue to talk about.
Yeah.
Before we get to six quick thoughts, very quickly, the NFL just announced that the 2024 salary cap is set at $255.4 million. Why does that matter for your favorite team, whether it is the Raiders, 49ers, or otherwise? It was projected at $242 million. $13 million in additional space is bananas.
That's a lot of money. A
lot of money that's going to help a lot of teams, particularly a team like the 49ers that is so top heavy with its salary cap. But we can dive into that later on. Let's get to last night's Kings win, 127-122 over the San Antonio Spurs with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
What's going on, Kyle? We got six quick thoughts.
Ready for these thoughts.
Number one.
I got your ding here. Hang on. Pause.
There it is. Sabonis came into the day doubtful. He was sick. I don't know what he was sick with. But he was sick.
And probably sick of all this not being recognized.
That's right. He was sick of not being an all-star. That's right. I was in the tunnel waiting for him to come off the floor in pregame, and I hit him up. I said, "Are you like thumbs up, thumbs down?" He's like, "I don't know. It's up to them. It's not up to me. I want to play." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I'm not sure what his illness was. But I guess there was a little bit of negotiation behind the scenes with him coming in and playing. And he just goes out and just does like Sabonis things, which is crazy because you could see that they were trying to control his minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
He only played 15 minutes in the first half. They were limiting what he was doing. But he comes away with another triple-double. His 38th double-double, consecutive double-double, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
A 22-point, 11-rebound, 11-assist triple-double. His 19th triple-double of the season, which leads the NBA. He's a workhorse.
He's just finding ways to be effective. Even on nights where, was he the best version of Domantas Sabonis last night? I didn't particularly think so.
No.
But he still figured out a way to go 22-11-11. Like that's, and I thought he did a nice job defensively for the most part on Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, and I also think he had 8 rebounds in the second half. I think that's how it broke down. Which is, you could see it down the stretch. He was grabbing every rebound and shoving everybody out of the way.
Yeah, 10, 8, and 5 in the second half.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, he's good.
Good player. Fine player. Maybe one day an all-star.
Maybe, Kyle. Make it rain. That's number two. The Kings struggled to hit the long ball early, but that wasn't the case for Kevin Huerter. He came out and hit his first 4 3-point shots, 21 points, 5 of 8 shooting, added 5 assists, added 4 rebounds, admitted after the game that he was very bad defensively, but outside of that, he looked like Kevin Huerter.
He got lost a lot defensively. There were a lot of open looks for San Antonio, I think, that came from Huerter not being aware on the perimeter.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who was guarding Jeremy Sochan.
Dude lives in the dunker spot.
The answer is nobody. Nobody was defending Sochan.
It felt like the Spurs offense early in the game was bad Victor Wembanyama turnaround Jay.
Yep.
Or Jeremy Sochan wide open on the right block.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Wide open for a little cut, like dunk.
No, but Kevin Huerter offensively... I thought a couple of times last night maybe hesitated in spots that he shouldn't have, where he would come off and dribble too much and then reset and get back into the offense. But no, I don't. He was really good last night. And again, you see the Kings' offense is just so much different when Kevin Huerter plays like he played last night.
Yeah, him coming off the DHO is it's so far that he travels that he gets to the outside.
It's almost like it's a dribble handoff, but it's to create space to get the offense moving. It's not even like, hey, here's a dribble handoff. Sabonis is going to set a screen so Huerter can shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how far out he gets with that dribble.
Although he had the one play where he went out on the DHO, looked like he was going to shoot the three, and then dropped a pass to De'Aaron Fox cutting.
Sick.
Absolutely sick.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the kind of stuff we talked about that with Keegan Murray yesterday. That's the kind of playmaking that you would like to see from him additionally off those dribble handoffs.
Yeah.
But good, really, really good performance from Kevin Huerter. I think he lit the beam at the end. I wouldn't know. I wasn't in the building.
He did.
Yeah, good for him.
All right.
Number three.
Stats. De'Aaron Fox came out looking to set up his teammates from the jump. He hit Sabonis on a pick and roll in the first play of the game that was awesome. He kept it going, posting 28 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. His late block, I had this as 3 steals in my 6 quick thoughts, but they didn't give him a steal. They gave him a block late in the game.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest defensive plays I've seen from a player. He messed up and got caught on the back cut.
Yeah.
Right? He took a bad step, overplayed it, and then got caught on the back cut. His recovery, and he said after the game, he's like, well, I figure I'd probably end up fouling him. And I was going to make him earn it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, but I was able to recover and just got my hand right on top of the ball.
It's one of those, it was one of those plays that happens in the NBA a lot. Like, guy just gambles or gets lost on a cut, and it's just a layup.
Yep.
That's what it's like, oh, bucket. And then not only was it not a bucket, it was a block going the other way.
Oh, yeah, it was nuts.
It's just, it was almost jarring because you're geared up like, oh, that's a layup.
It almost looked like he dunked it. Like, that's how it looked. Like, the ball went straight down, and he still went up, and it was like, oh, man, that's not good. Because it was like super late in the game, like 38 seconds left or something.
Yeah, it would have made it a one possession game.
Yeah, just tremendous recovery speed. And for him to not give up on the play was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's get to number four. Boost in the third. Malik Monk was quiet in the first half. I think he had 7 points. He got it going in the third and then helped finish off the game in the fourth. He finished with 21 points, 8 of 15 from the field and 2 blocks. He now is up to 36 blocks, a team-leading 36 blocks for your 6-man, 6'3" shooting guard.
9 off the Sacramento Kings franchise record for blocks in a season by a player 6'3" and under.
I mentioned that to him in the locker room.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll get that.
He's 10 off. De'Aaron Fox had 45 in the 2018-19 season.
Isn't that crazy?
9 short of that, 10 off breaking the record.
And Fox was the chase down block. That's what Fox was early in his career, was the incredible chase down blocks.
Yeah. What number are we on?
5.
Counting. 5.
Tough assignment. Keegan Murray is drawing the opposition's best perimeter player, and he continues to make an impact. He had 16 points, 2 of 4 from 3, and out of 4 rebounds, but I also thought he was really, really good defensively. They shifted him to Devin Vassell late. Vassell hit some incredible shots. You let that guy get going, and holy cow, he was
the
good.
The one where the ball got poked away from him into the backcourt, and he picks it up and hustles into the front court and stops at the top of the key and drills a 3, that is a bad shot.
I thought that was the moment that Popovich just yanked
him. Oh, it was going to be a miss.
You're out,
bro. It was going to be a timeout, and he was going to be out. Yeah, and he just cashes it. No, it was a really... you can talk about Keegan defensively or whatever. Sometimes a player like Devin Vassell is just going to get going, and he is a talented enough player that when he gets going, that you're not probably doing a lot to stop him. I think a version of the Spurs where they are contending for championships with Victor Wembanyama, you have Devin Vassell in that Manu Ginobili 6-man role where he is just a different player than Manu, obviously, but just a really dominant 6-man, I think, is probably where he winds up affecting a championship team.
I like him. I like him a little bit more than that. I think he can be a starter on a good team, but whether he's going to be a 20-point-per-game guy on a good team, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, still sure. Really good, solid young player.
Last one, number 6.
Nice contribution. Chris Duarte plays with reckless abandon, and the Kings sometimes need that. He played well. He had two threes. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. His defense was good. He played 20 minutes. I thought, like, realistically, if this is who he can be down the stretch, then that will help the Kings a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked the Chris Duarte addition this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, again, I anchored my old takes. And I loved him coming out of Oregon. I thought he was an NBA-ready player, and he was in his rookie year. Dealt with some injury stuff. He's had a hard time carving out a role with the Kings. But if he is ascending, yep, into the player that you all of a sudden have a lineup, and as we talk about defense with this team, you know what you can get offensively. You know that the ceiling for this team offensively is one of the highest in the NBA. But in the playoffs, can you get a stop? Can you throw bodies on Steph Curry or Luka or whatever great perimeter player? Do you have different bodies and looks you can throw at him? And if you have Chris Duarte, who's at least a net neutral offensively, at least, and playing really good defense, now all of a sudden that changes the dynamics of a playoff series, even a little bit in the Kings' favor.
I talked to him in pregame, and I said, "How's your ankle?" He's like, "Yeah, it only took like 5 days." And I'm like, "That's crazy." He's like, "Yeah, because I saw it that night, and he was on crutches, and it looked horrible."
Yeah.
He said,
"I remember you walked out, and you were like, ugh."
He said, he literally said, he goes, 5 days. He's like, "That was a grade 2 sprain," which is crazy. 5 days for a grade 2. He goes, "But I don't have any ligaments left anyways." He's like, I've had the grade 3. I've had the grade 2s. I've had them all. They're all trashed. He's like, I healed up pretty quick. And I'm like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
5 days for a grade 2.
Some thoughts on Chris Duarte in the chatty house that we will get to, because I think I want to continue talking about him as well, as we talk about the Kings defense, what they did well, what did they not do well last night. And we will have a Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for you also. That's coming up. It'll be your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. And Jiffy Lube bought a bunch of Kings jerseys for us to give away at the end of every month. And that is coming up. Your chances to win in February are dwindling. So make sure to enter at ESPN1320.com. Your Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game contest page is right there up front. Wait for the keyword. That's coming up for you next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I think that might be the most random thing that we've ever been talking about at the break that made me late to hitting our sounders and stuff. Like, hey, Bill's salary cap situation here on ESPN 13.
That's weird. Actually, there's an interesting question in the chat, and somebody asked, does Domas' father come visit him to share some advice? The answer is yes. Arvidas has shown up a couple of times. They usually come out and stay for like a month or 3 weeks, and you'll see Arvidas in the tunnel or like in the back hallways like a couple of times, and he makes Domas look like a little kid.
Yeah, he's an enormous human.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know another way to describe it. I mean, like you know what? If you've watched the Scott Pollard video where the doctors are trying to help him up, it kind of looks like that. Arvidas Sabonis is one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen. I would love to see, I've never seen it happen where Vlade and Arvidas are together. Because Vlad is a huge man too, like way, way bigger than Domas.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God, Arvidas Sabonis was 7'3", 280.
Yeah.
He was an already unbelievable player, but he would be in that Hakeem, Shaq, that conversation had he played in the NBA his entire career, but he didn't even come over till he was 31.
Yeah, I'm watching him, like what he would do with the ball, like he basically would get in the post, or he'd get at the high post,
mm-hmm.
he'd get the ball in his hands and he would start moving it around like a water polo player.
Yeah.
And then what he could do as a passer was just unbelievable. Silly. Every once in a while Domas does it. And you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
You see the Sabonis gene like coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fascinating. And we always, one of my favorite discussions with, particularly with basketball, because the game is so much different now.
Oh, yeah.
Than it was. And in football, it's tough. Like, you get guys like Terry Bradshaw, like, I wish I could have played today. Like, okay, man. I don't know what it, I genuinely have no idea what it would have looked like if Terry Bradshaw played now. Like, yeah. I have no idea. But it's pretty easy to pick up a 31-year-old Arvidas Sabonis and drop him into the NBA today and get an idea of what it would have looked like. Because when you look and you talk about passing, like when you hear who's the best passing big man of all time? Sabonis' name comes up.
Yeah.
And he averaged, for his career, 2.1 assists a game.
Oh, that's wild.
Because the sport was just different. Like, the style was different. If you drop him into the NBA now, where you're like, yeah, hey, motion offenses and spreading the floor and all this spacing, it would have probably looked like something like Jokic.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you really look at, like, who brought that to the NBA game, it was Sabonis mm-hmm. and Vlade.
Yeah.
Like, their ability to pass change a game
as
those big guys. And I think... Yep. You know, Vlade already had like a really, really high basketball IQ, but going to the Lakers mm-hmm. and playing with Magic Johnson as a young player mm-hmm. just like increased everything by tenfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just talk about one of the most gifted passers and a guy who saw the court. He saw everything. And, you know, it does help that you're 7'1" and you can see everything or 7'3" and you're like way over the top of everybody.
Just a hoss, dude.
Yeah, I think the player comp, Sabonis, young Sabonis before NBA is Jokic. But again, they didn't allow guys like that to dribble then.
Nope.
So like that's where we've seen the change. You know, even like I talked to Chris Gent years ago who had played with Hakeem, but then coached DeMarcus. He was on Mike Malone's staff. And I asked him about the comparison with Boogie and Olajuwon, and he just laughed. He's like, man, Hakeem can dribble twice. He's like, we got this kid making going between his legs and doing spin move on a fast break at midcourt with a guard diving at him. Yeah. He's like this is, nobody's ever seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at revolutionary players, DeMarcus will get ignored. But his ability to dribble and run the break is something we really hadn't seen before from a 6'11", 7 foot tall, you know, 290-pound dude.
Well, and he didn't shoot it a lot early in his career, like from three. That was something that came. But we were just talking about this, the Goon Squad Classic, the Dante Green charity game that took place during the lockout at UC Davis. Before that game, DeMarcus is standing there above the break, and just casually, he's like chatting with Jimmer or whoever, and he's pulling from three and hitting everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you're sitting there, and that was what, 2011?
2011. Yeah, it's during the lockout in 2011.
So, and that's early DeMarcus Cousins. Like, why doesn't he do this more? Like, this should just happen more. And then, sure enough, as his career goes on and spacing becomes more prevalent, he started shooting it more. But
you know who forced him to shoot it?
Who?
George Karl.
Yes.
And they fought.
Sacramento Kings legend George Karl.
They fought about it the whole time, but really, it did open up DeMarcus Cousins' game. And I don't, what is it? What year is it that he coaches? I think it's 2013-14 and 14-15. And then the 15-16 season is where he's, you know, George Karl's there. And DeMarcus goes from 0.1 to 3.2 and then 5.
Yeah,
that's where the George Karl effect.
Shot it at 36% on 5 a game.
Yeah,
like that's, you know what? Shout out to George Karl.
with the Pelicans, he 37.5% on 5.6, six attempts per game. Yeah,
man, what a player!
Boogie's still hooping.
I know it, man. Where is he now?
Well, he goes. He went over to Korea and played on like a 10-day. There's a good chance he'll go back and play either there or in China, maybe even for like the playoffs.
Good for him.
Like they allow that, and so you just get like a nice paycheck to go and have a good time and hoop, and yeah, we'll try to get him on the show.
That would be great. I would love that so much. Maybe we get him and George Karl together.
I don't think I mean maybe I could reach out to George Karl and get George Karl, but
I'm joking.
Yeah, me and George weren't super good.
I've had him on the radio before. Like he's accessible. Like he's but I don't. I'm joking about having him on here in Sacramento.
Yeah, like
I don't think that's anything anybody wants.
Watching. Okay, so George Karl before he was the Sacramento Kings coach was always my favorite coach to go talk to in pregame.
Mm-hmm.
So like even last night I went in. You talked to like Greg Popovich, and he's surly and he's waiting for a stupid question, and then he lights into somebody. That's what he does. But George Karl for me was always the best to go talk to because you would ask him a question, a basketball question, and he would look you in the eye and think about it. Mm-hmm. And then he'd give you like this incredibly thoughtful, like thought-provoking answer. Yeah. And then he got to the Sacramento and there just wasn't like a lot left in the bag.
I feel like he was done.
Yeah. And he had, you know, lots of health problems. He had struggled with a couple of bouts with cancer at that point. He had cancer while he was in Sacramento too. Mm-hmm. And he just wasn't the same. And you know, he had to sit in a chair. It took him a while to get places. You know, he just, you know, he's a basketball legend, but he wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
doubt. He was tough to deal with.
Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game from last night.
Oh.
That's right. Kings beat the Spurs 127-122. We're giving away a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate.
Yep.
We're also giving away a Kings jersey at the end of this month. The way you enter for that is to enter to win the Jiffy Lube gift certificate.
Mm.
We put the names in a big pot, and then we pull a name, like a digital pot. We don't actually do
Yeah.
We're not all writing these all down. Put the names in a big pot, and we pull out a jersey winner. The February jersey winner will be pulled at the end of the month. I believe I'd have to look at the Kings schedule. It might be early March, but enter today. Enter right now at ESPN1320.com.
Yep.
There's a Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game page right up front. You cannot miss it. Click on that, and then you're going to enter the code word Fox Ox.
Fox Ox. Two words.
Two words. Fox Ox.
That's right.
And that's Ox like the Domantas Sabonis nickname, not like an Ox cord.
No, like
OX.
Like Fox and the Ox. Right. Like that's what Kings fans call Fox and Sabonis.
Right.
Yeah, so just Fox Ox.
Two words.
Yeah, because I thought, okay, so the defensive play by De'Aaron Fox, the fact that he scored 28 points and like stuffed this.
Closed the game out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he deserves it. But also Sabonis walking out there and having like a Michael Jordan flu game, pretty impressive for a guy who is doubtful that morning and to show up and drop a crazy triple-double again.
The flu game was like in the finals.
I know.
This is a Spurs.
No, I know.
Game 55.
No, I know. I know, but hey, look, he's missed one game in 2 years.
Yeah, that's not right. He missed three last year.
Was it three?
Yeah.
I thought it was one.
It might be because of injury. He might have missed a couple at the end of the year resting or something. I know they for sure didn't play the last game of the year.
You're right. He played 79.
Yeah.
Okay, so he hasn't missed a game this season.
Yeah. Would have been his first.
Yeah. Him and Harrison Barnes, neither one have missed a game. So yeah, he did miss three last year.
Johnny G in the chat asks if I stayed the whole game. I did not.
No.
I left early third quarter.
Yeah.
It was my plan to stay the whole game. It was really my plan. And then I looked at the work I had left to do, and then I didn't want to be, like, because if I stay, so I caught a ride to the arena with you, James.
Yep.
And I could have either rode back with Damian or with you.
Yep.
And you stay late. Like you.
Yeah, I didn't leave until 10:30, 11.
Right. Because you are in press conferences, you're in the locker room, you have work to do after the game. So I wouldn't have been getting into bed until like after midnight, which defeats the whole purpose of me staying in Sacramento.
Yeah.
That I have to, now I get the same amount of sleep if I had gone home. So that's why I said, all right, Dame, when you bouncing?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll let you know. It's like, all right, that was my ride home.
That's right. Yeah. So. No, it was fine. I think people forget that, you know, you had to leave your house at like 4 o'clock in the morning to get here for a 5:30 morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the game is still going. Like, again, if you would have stayed until 10:30, that's a long day.
I think the real move for me is to get a hotel room downtown. And just stay downtown.
Well, yeah, but then,
that way I'm a short walk.
Then you got to drive back.
Yeah, but no traffic in the morning when I'm driving up here.
Okay.
I'd be really like 5:30. I'd have to leave my hotel by what, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
All right.
That's not too bad.
Anyways. Get you some sort of, you know, like long-term group rate there or something. I don't know.
Like, we're trying to see a beam in person. That's fine. Fox Ox is your Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. We talked about it yesterday. They needed their stars to be stars. And if Fox was a little bit worse last night, or if Domantas Sabonis was a little bit worse last night, they lose that game instead of win it.
Yes.
And we can sit here and honestly, look, I'm definitely in this camp of, I don't feel differently about the Kings today than I did going into yesterday.
Okay.
I still think a lot of the same problems are there. However, if I'm going to sit here on the radio and be like, they need to win these games, and then they win the game, I can't also be like, we got to win it, but different. Like, nah, man.
You got to win, but better.
Yeah, right. It's stupid. So I did like that in a spot where, because it felt similar to the Detroit game.
Yeah.
In how the just kind of ebb and flow of it, but at the end of the game, when it was crunch time, last 3 minutes, it was a little bit back and forth, and then the Kings just imposed their will for the last 2 minutes and said, we are not losing this game. And it was Domantas Sabonis making plays, and it was De'Aaron Fox making plays, and they closed it out. Was it their best performance of the year? Absolutely not. But they won a game that sure felt like, based on the 54 games we had seen earlier this year, it sure felt like, oh man, they're going to lose this one. And then they didn't. And that is maybe not the massive improvement we were talking to, like, hey, you'd love to see them blow them out. 1,000%. You would have loved 130 to 105. That would have been awesome. But also, 127, 122 is leaps and bounds better than that same score the other way.
Yeah.
And that's, so it was an improvement, even if it wasn't the massive one I was hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, at the end of the day, you have to stack wins. You have to figure out whatever it is. Like, you're in a, like, crazy race right now. The teams are stacked up on top of each other, and you've got, like, you're a half game behind the Suns and the Mavs. You're a game and a half behind the Pelicans. Like, this battle for the 5-6 spot is going to be epic. And I'm not even, like, these teams here in this block, I think that they're going to push each other and that they're going to make a run at that next group.
Yeah.
We'll see a couple of those teams, I believe, come back down to earth a little bit. And I think that we're going to see a battle here with these four teams, the Pelicans, the Mavs, the Kings and the Suns, and they're going to push each other and see if they can move up into that next group. And I wouldn't doubt it. But go ahead.
Real quick, just to underscore the importance of this while you're talking about the standings, the teams they're chasing, Dallas beats Phoenix last night.
Yep.
Denver wins. They beat Washington. They're not really, the Warriors are out of it. The Warriors beat the Lakers.
Yep.
The Pelicans win. They beat the Rockets. OKC wins. They beat the Clippers. Like, that's all of these teams that the Kings are trying to kind of keep pace with and maybe be chasing. All these teams won.
Yep.
And if you lose that game last night,
oh no, you're in trouble.
All of a sudden, so that's another thing. If, again, like, if I'm going to sit here and we're going to talk standings and you're chasing these teams, you just can't complain about any win at this point.
No, totally. And I think the Kings had a good night. Because
overall, yeah.
Yeah, because if you pick up that win right there, what it did is, like, I know we don't want to talk about the teams behind the Kings. It's like, some for some reason we don't do that. But, you know, the Warriors beat the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But also the Jazz and the Rockets lost.
Yes.
So the Kings have separated themselves with this group of four from that other group. So what are they, 2.5 games up on the Lakers/Warriors at this point? But the non-play-in teams right now, the teams that are 11 and 12, they also took a step backwards last night. Mm-hmm. And that's big, like, because the last thing you want to do is just not make the play-in.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to see the Kings make the play-in. We want to see them make the playoffs. That would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have them be at risk for even making the play-in. That would be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
So for a couple of these teams to drop off right now, that would be great for the Kings.
They're a half game out of a playoff spot. Half game behind Phoenix and Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dallas is technically the sixth seed right now.
They're tied. The same record.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, what is it? But it's 30.
The Kings are a half game back in the win column.
33-23.
Yeah,
right?
The Kings are 32-23.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lakers now 3 games back of the Kings. The Warriors 3.5 back. So I just, any way we can figure out, hey, what does this look like in the playoffs? Can they win a playoff? We can figure that out in April.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get there first. And you can't get there unless you're pulling out wins. And honestly, I guess one of the gripes from last night, the Spurs shot 44% from three, the worst 3-point shooting team in the league. They shoot 44% from three. And somebody brought up, well, they started 4 of 6. They were 4 of 6 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but also in the second half, they went 6 of 14. Like, they were, like, they, it wasn't like, oh, they were red hot early and then cooled off. Like, no, they shot the heck out of it in the second half, too.
Yeah, they did. But I think the key that I would point to, Kyle, is
not a lot of volume.
You held them for 24 attempts.
25, but yeah.
25. But that still means that, you know, 11 of 25, you can live with 11 made three-pointers.
No doubt.
The fact that they were able to really limit them and take away some of the threes, the percentage is bad for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if the Kings are going to improve, that might be one of the ways to do it, by limiting teams. Like, get out there. Like, make them not take the shot. And if you can do that more and more, you'll start to see eventually that three-point percentage will probably come down.
Yeah, and Victor Wembanyama led the Spurs in three-point attempts with 6, and he made one of them.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought last night, defensively, it was, there's going to be open threes in an NBA game.
Yep.
That's going to happen. I thought the Spurs made a couple of really sick passes to create some open threes. But after one early on, I think it was a three that made it 5-4. Mike Brown, quick with the TO. And honestly, I love that. Like, good.
We haven't seen it.
Right. Send that message.
Yes.
Send the message of, hey, here's three guards with Trey Lyles and Domantas Sabonis. Hey, here's four guards with Alex Len. Like, everything is on the table. We're going to figure this out defensively. I'm going to call timeouts. I'm going to pull guys. I'm going to change up the rotations until this gets done right.
Yep.
And if running teams off the line and making sure that, hey, they're going to hit some open ones, but we're going to make sure that we're limiting the damage and not letting them go 21 of 41, then great. I thought was fine last night. And honestly, if Devin Vassell has a regular Devin Vassell game and doesn't go 13 of 18 from the field,
mm-hmm.
The Kings win by a margin that I think we're sitting here more comfortably and going like, yeah, hey, that's the kind of win you wanted to see.
Well, that, and he probably hit 3 or 4 really, really difficult shots.
Yeah.
You're like, what in the world? How did you hit that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, look, I don't want to berate them again and again. That early timeout by Mike Brown, it was a clear miscommunication. I think it was Herter and Barnes, both of them. Like, who's going to go get the guy in the corner? And no one actually did.
Yeah.
And it was wide open. And I missed the Mike Brown 30 seconds into the game timeout. Like, where did it go? That's the first time this year that we've seen that.
Yeah.
So the one downfall that he's got to figure out his challenge thing. Like, he's got to figure it out. He can't keep losing a challenge in the first half or even in the third quarter every single game.
Yeah.
Like, whoever's doing it, I know. Somebody hit me up on Twitter last night and said, hey, I'll sit on the bench and get paid, and you can pay me something, and I'll tell you when it's a foul and when it's not.
I'll give you a thumbs up, thumbs down real quick.
Yeah, there's like this panic that's going on, and I don't get it, like how they're not figuring this one out.
Well, what's funny is when I tweeted it after the first quarter, I was like, this is the greatest officiated game in NBA history. There were no fouls called in the first 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And like multiple people responded like, yeah, which means there wasn't a chance for Mike Brown to lose a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy. That's tough.
Yeah, if there's one thing about Mike Brown's coaching era that we're going to remember,
Mike Brown
era lasts for a decade or more.
Yeah.
But I think it will be the challenges early on. Like,
yeah, in the Vans.
Yeah, it's just like, wow. Oh, the Vans. You like the Vans?
Mm-hmm.
The Vans with no socks or with socks?
No socks. Or at least maybe they're socks, but they're like the low cut,
yeah,
like invisible ones.
I know the one time he tried to show Mark Jones that he was wearing socks, like during a press conference last year, and he put his foot up on the table and kicked the table.
And right, and you got it.
The entire, yeah, it was wild. Like,
yeah.
The whole thing, it would have been like a catastrophe.
It would have been funny.
I probably should have let it just happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it would have been a great video.
There was like literally like this much of the table, like still on the edge. Like, I was waiting for, like, oh, no. And I was not moving very quickly last season. My back was out the entire year. It wasn't an easy move. It wasn't cat-like reflexes.
I would have just, you should have let it happen. That video is going viral.
Oh, it would have gone totally viral.
Yeah. Mike Brown flips table
after
Kings game.
We have it with my luck. It would have like fallen and hit me on the front row.
No, you're so far away. Yeah, but that's close. No.
Those chairs move every game. They're always in a different spot. I don't know why, but they do. They move every game.
Hey, speaking of shoes, just very quickly, I know this is a thing, but I need to just reiterate it for the sake of doing so. Gary Gerald's shoe game is out of this world.
He does have
he was wearing some J's last night. Some Jordan lows. I don't even know what they are. They were so sick.
I don't know where. Like, does he get shoes sent to him?
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I would be floored if I found out that Gary Gerald paid for his shoes. Floored.
I think when people
you'll
see...
get to be a legend around an NBA team for 40 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah.
And pay for your shoes. That's not how this goes.
I think it's funny though, like, because people that see Gary Gerald, and you know, he's always dressed in a suit.
Right.
And he takes his job very seriously.
He's very good at his job.
I think that everyone out there would think he's wearing like penny loafers or like little tassel shoes.
Yes.
That's what everyone would think.
It's the vibe.
No. No. He's got like the Jays, he's got Air Force Ones, he's got like he's got game.
Always color coordinated too.
Yes.
It's not generic brown.
No.
No, it matches the tie. It is a... Oh, what a
one of the greatest men ever. Just love people that. Know, they should know he's one of the greatest dudes of all time.
Terrific, terrific person. If you get a chance to say hello, do so. It's
yes.
It's a delight. Unless he's working, then don't bother him. Kings defense, we'll continue talking about that. We'll have good, bad, and ugly for you. And I want to... get a little bit into this NFL salary cap stuff, not the machinations of it, but just kind of what the what this means, particularly for the 49ers, because they went from really up against it to all of a sudden a little bit more comfortable. We'll talk about that coming up as well. We've got a whole second hour to get to, just 2 hours today. D'Lo and KC will be in at noon for their regular noon to four slot. That's coming up on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.